I don't care what kind of damage control comes emanating out of one Buck place.
Buccaneers fans, this is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. It is starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the raise the flags 50 years of Buccaneers football star, Ira Kaufman, 1979 New York Giants beat writer, unbelievable, hanging out with Phil Sims and Parcells. Lee DeCamper's here of Joe Bucks Fan. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. And Bill Curry Ford, the Memorial Day spectacular savings, they continue through June 1st. So you have got time to get to BillCurryFord.com. Over $14,000 off MSRP on select new 2026 F-150s, Ira. Incredible lease offers. I mean, the lease offers really blow me away. You got to check them all out. There's many of them. Front and center, BillCurryFord.com. Click on specials. And, of course, GM Sean Sullivan, he's got the Ira Kaufman discount for you. And more important, Bill Curry Ford, one of the last of the private-owned, family-operated dealerships. And they make that difference known
very quickly.
It really does. You're not dealing with some big corporate nonsense. If you have an issue or you need special attention, Curry Cares Insurance, they've got an insurance company there. That's my insurance company. They're great. They've got Body Shop, biggest service department in Florida, and they've got Sean Sullivan, the GM, our buddy. He's got the Ira Kaufman discount for you. You can find him at BillCurryFord.com. Sage, rainy season's already here. We'll talk later about Florida's elite restoration, but they're your first phone call if that storm damage comes, water damage, leak, whatever it is. Get on the phone, but more important, get to their website today so you're prepared and you understand why they give you a distinct competitive advantage. FloridasEliteRestoration.com. Ira, how are you, buddy?
I'm feeling great, Stevie. Over the weekend, my wife dragged me to a movie, Michael Jackson. I didn't want to go, but I went. Here's the good and the bad. Good. The guy who played Michael Jackson, who I think his last name's Jackson. I think he's like a cousin or something.
I thought he was the guy that you liked so much. Was it Charlatan is his
name?
No.
This guy's not a professional actor.
Oh.
He's part of the Jackson family. And he was very good as Michael Jackson. The dancing, the singing, okay. However, not a hint of controversy. Nothing. Of course, the movie, I'm sure that the Jackson family had to be involved. Now, the father comes out as a monster. The belt's out there. He's whipping Michael all the time. The mother's the savior, which is usually the case. There's no Neverland. There's no drugs.
Oh, okay.
There's no surgeries. The only thing, he had one nose surgery. He probably had about 40. They showed one.
No Pepsi fire?
So we went to the movies. Four other people in the theater. Holds 200 people. Four. Every time we go to the movies, and we're the only ones we know that go to the movies, everybody else is streaming. We go to the movies. There's nobody in there, Steve. That's because we're not going to see Cars crash, no Avatar, no Marvel comics.
No space junk.
I'm not doing that.
Are you going at 2 in the afternoon for the senior special?
No. We went Saturday night. Now,
okay.
I just want to say this on our podcast.
You
Lee,
pass
I'm
up,
challenging you.
You pass up seniors?
This weekend, we're going to another movie. It's a war movie.
Pressure.
We're going to go see Pressure.
I will, too.
What do you know about it?
D-Day, I know. As an amateur historian, I know a lot about it.
I think the actor's name is Brendan Fraser. He's been around.
That's got me weirded out.
So he's playing Eisenhower.
That's got me weirded out because this the guy that played the Encino Man is supposed to be Dwight Eisenhower. Give me a break.
Yeah,
Come on, people.
Yeah. But it's supposed to be good.
Well, I'm going to go see it. But
then 2 weeks from now, Steve, I think we should all see it together.
The World Cup opener?
No, Spielberg's Alien movie.
I can't live like that.
Disclosure Day.
Nah.
Disclosure Day. I want to see what the alien looks like. You know, it might look like a couple of people that are parading around One Buck Place every week when we go there. But I, we saw Close Encounters, and I saw E.T. By the way.
50 years ago, right?
Before we get to the Bucks, I can't stop with the stories. I had a sports editor. Lee knows who he is, Milton Richman at UPI. Famous baseball writer. He was the sports editor at United Press, New York. Milton Richman. He's in the Baseball Hall of Fame. He passed away. But anyway, Carrie and I with another couple. You know, in 1983, I think we saw it in New Jersey. E.T. We saw E.T. Nobody knew anything about it. I was spellbound. A couple of people in my neighborhood looked like that creature. And so a couple of days later, I'm in the office, and Milton says, hey, what are you up to? What have you been doing? I said, my wife and I went to see E.T. Oh, hey, I saw it. What'd you think, Milton? He gave it a one-word review. You ready?
Poor.
Deplorable.
Deplorable.
Deplorable. That's my Milton Richmond story. Anyway, we're hitting the movie houses.
Is that when you lived in Weehawken?
Yeah, we did live in Weehawken. We did live in Weehawken. Two-family house.
All right, well, you brought up New Jersey. So the Bucks are, Todd Bowles Jets. Revealed that they're going to have two joint practices with the Jets. The Bucks play August 14th, preseason opener.
Which means that you boys are going up there. That's what it means.
At Jersey on that Friday. So the joint practice is probably Tuesday and Wednesday, Ira. Excited to patrol around there again. Did that a few years ago when Aaron Rodgers
was there.
Come
on, we'll drive up, Steve. You and I will drive up.
Drive. Way too long of a drive. But if you're taking your cherry red Ford Escape, I'd consider it. I'd consider it. That's where Russell Gage blew out his knee
right
in 2023, right in front of me.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
And Trey Palmer, well, there were three memorable moments of that practice. Trey, four. Five. Trey,
six.
Trey, usually there are none.
Do I hear six?
Usually there's none. Trey Palmer beat Sauce Gardner on a deep ball, caught it, and everybody thought, you know, Trey Palmer might be something special.
Was Palmer a rookie at that time?
He was a rookie, yeah. Right. So that was pretty eye-opening, but didn't mean much. And Aaron Rodgers was picked off by Anthony Nelson. That was fun. A fight broke out, started by Devin
that
White.
That means Nelson was dropped into coverage, Steve. That's what it means.
A little bit.
How do you like that?
A little bit.
Into coverage.
And Baker Mayfield had a very interesting one-on-one there with Mr. Adam Schefter. Uh-huh. No, he never wrote anything or whatever. Just it was a classic Schefter. Let's talk about a lot of things that I'll use later.
Lee, did I just see a video of Reuben Bain dropping back into coverage? Did I see something like that?
If you did, it wouldn't surprise me.
All right, because
yeah,
I was surprised you didn't retweet that.
There was some video of that. It's interesting, the pirate YouTubers, what they've been doing is taking video that Bucks reporters at practice, the little bit that they can show, they're tweeting out a little bit of video, and the pirate YouTubers are taking all the video, putting them all together, saying highlights from OTAs, and it's like a 7-minute video.
Oh,
so
boy.
If you want to go watch all this meaningless video from practice, you can find it on YouTube if you want to feel like you were there.
Don't tell that to A'shaun Robinson. He said there's no such thing as a trivial practice.
Well, I didn't say it's trivial. The video is meaningless, but the practice is important.
Okay. Let's get right into this Bucky Irving thing. Let's not waste any time.
You
want to
go Bucky Irving first?
I want to go Bucky Irving right away.
You want me to tee it up, or you got to just
tee it up? Tee it up.
Okay. Todd Bowles up there talking to the media the other day, Tuesday. Hasn't talked in a long time publicly, and very, very, very simple. Todd Bowles is asked.
Maybe he was out in the sun. Maybe he got a little sunstroke or something.
Todd Bowles.
It was winter, he said.
No, but I'm saying he talked the other day under the broiling sun.
It wasn't that hot. Like he said, it was winter.
Oh, he called it winter.
He called it winter.
Todd Bowles asked about Bucky Irving. Very simply says, we expect he's doing good. He's a little rough. And, quote, we expect to see him in the summer or the fall. No follow-up question.
That's a big gap, Lee.
But the fall is the fall. Your thoughts, Ira?
To me, the fall is October and November. The fall is not September. It's 94 degrees. So, Lee, I am concerned about Bucky Irving. I'm sorry. I'm concerned. And I don't care what kind of damage control comes emanating out of one Buck place.
It has,
and
really.
There's been plenty from a national and local standpoint. Lee, I'm concerned. Why isn't this guy ready? I thought he'd be ready for a mandatory minicamp.
Steve and I have been told, as far back as the combine, Bucky will be ready when regular season starts. This is standard window when you have a shoulder surgery, that it's going to be X amount of weeks, and he's on plan to start. That's what we've been told off. I'll just say it again. I think this says it all. The Bucks didn't pay Kenneth Gainwell the 21st most money in the league for spits and giggles, not just for special teams. They're doing it for a reason, and this is it.
Well, just to clarify, since we're clarifying dates, what Lee and I were told, he'll be ready for training camp. And he may even
now that's not a certainty.
Well, wait a minute. He may even get a little taste of action at minicamp, but he'll be ready to go for training camp, and he's doing fine, doing great.
As we all know, things do change. And Steve and I have been told twice, first at the combine, a second time, six weeks ago? Well, not even that, when Zach Robinson was talking.
Yeah, Zach Robinson said, quote, obviously Bucky's not here. And this was a couple of weeks ago. So we wrote about saying, whoa, that's a strong... He said, quote, obviously we're missing him right now. Now, that was May 12th. Why is that obvious? Right? So that was the speculation of, well, obvious means he's probably a little ways away. How far away is he? And then Todd Bowles comes out with this. I don't really know what he means by fall. Ira, there's been damage control, meaning the Bucks have tried to say this is not a thing.
He could have said he's coming to training camp. He could have said that.
Anybody with the Bucks in power could just come out with a statement to clarify what Bowles said. Bowles could even do it. Just say, we expect Bucky to be ready for the regular season. He might be ready for training camp. We have not heard that. Only thing we hear is, he's not here. And now you got the head coach talking about, he's not going to be here till the fall.
Do we have a lot of details about the nature of this shoulder injury? Do we have a lot of details
about it? No, we know he had surgery.
Is it a dislocated shoulder?
We don't know anything. We reported the surgery. A lot of people were in denial that it actually happened. And then that denial ended, and we were just told that he's on track, and that's it. And I believe that he is on track. But
when was the surgery, Steve? November?
I don't have
January
an exact date.
Probably
it was January. I don't have an exact date for you, Sage, but Todd Bowles saying fall, summer or fall.
In the end of May.
Now, if he said fall, that might have been different, but he said summer or fall, so when's the summer? You know what I mean? Like, fall is really training camp, then when's summer? You know, it's very confusing.
Look, if I see him on the field August 5th, I'm okay. If I don't see him August 15th, we got a problem. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't have a problem because to me, the Bucks showed their hand when they signed Gainwell. That should have been a big red flag. Like, whoa, what's going on here? And people are acting like that never happened. Well, it did happen.
I'm not sure he can rip off those 20, 30-yard runs like Irving can.
I agree with you. And hopefully the Bucks offensive line will be healthy.
Yeah.
And I think that was a big reason, one of the reasons why Bucky struggled last year.
One of them.
Yeah. So do I want Bucky out there? Of course I do. But once again, they didn't bring Gainwell in to play poker in the locker room. They brought him in for a purpose. They're paying him $7 million a year.
What makes this interesting, Ira, is sort of the reverse side of things is, okay, Gainwell said he had a dozen teams or so, half the league looking for him. The Bucks have acknowledged that a lot of teams were looking at him. And it's understandable. He's very versatile. And he's proven himself. And
you would think he'd want to go to a team where he could fight for the number one job. You would think.
And Aaron Rodgers loved him last
year. Ding, 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 ding.
Rodgers loved him last year. He caught 70-something balls and all that. So the question is, why did Gainwell want to come here? Well, Gainwell said, I wanted to get back to the South and whatever. But
I don't know about that.
But the reality is, he probably wanted to know he was going to have a good opportunity. And I'm sure the Bucks told him, Bucky's had shoulder surgery. You know,
we think he's going to be fine.
We think he'll be okay, but we don't know. But either way, we're limiting his touches this year, especially early.
Boom.
We are not against you playing slot receiver, and we are happy to have you play special teams. Danny
and maybe,
Smith is
maybe
coming.
Maybe return kicks. Yeah.
At worst, and maybe this is me. To me, it's clear as a bell. At worst, they brought Gainwell into CYA. At worst.
Yeah, I could see
well,
that.
They needed a back. I mean, they needed to replace Rashad White.
Yeah,
aren't they paying Tucker a nice little piece of change, too?
Yeah, $3.5 million. Which is not typical for a number three running back. I don't know. Let's go back to the original thing, Ira. Todd Bowles said summer or the fall.
I'm not sure he misspoke, Lee. Who said he misspoke? The Bucks say he misspoke?
I'm not sure we've heard.
The reaction has been.
Has Bowles put out a clarification?
Of course not.
No.
Nor will
he. That would be too easy, Ira. You know, all the Bucks would have to do is quote Todd Bowles, issue a release saying, I'd like to clarify my statement from earlier today.
It's been misinterpreted, yeah.
When I said fall, I meant this.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. They did issue an unofficial clarification. It went through Adam Schefter. Someone got hold of Adam Schefter, like, would you put this out there?
Well, why not issue an official one?
Who knows? They want to make their coach look bad? I don't know.
This doesn't make you look bad.
Well, he may think otherwise.
You know, he could come out and say, people misinterpreted this. This is what I was trying
to say. Don't say fall, then.
Yeah. Look, this is the same team that put out a news release when DeSean Jackson's friend was driving DeSean Jackson's car and fled the scene. And the Bucks put out a release about that, which had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
So this is, like, more important than that.
Besides what went on at OTAs, Lee, and we want to hear from you about that.
Because pretty boring.
You always have a couple of little tidbits. Steve, you know what's really going to start getting interesting? The stadium stuff. It's getting interesting,
I've
Lee.
Been wanting to talk about that for a couple
it's
weeks.
It's getting interesting, Steve.
It's more interesting than you think.
And I hope it's not an either-or thing between the Bucks and the Rays, because the Rays are going to lose.
Yeah.
The Rays are going to lose that battle.
You know, I can only go by what Colleen Wright, Tampa Bay Times, she wrote, you know, she spoke with people off the record with the Tampa Sports Authority, and it seems as if they have the mentality, Bucks first mentality.
That's what it seems like, Steve. Word is leaking out that the Glazers are willing to pay one-third of the way towards a renovation. And I don't think that's going to go over very well, especially in these tough economic times. I think Maybe that's an opening negotiation. Steve, you've been through some of those. Could be a ploy, but that's where they start from, one-third.
This has all sorts of angles and arms to it. What kind of money is going to be around when they get rid of property tax? That's number one. Number two, and I've been wanting to talk about this for a while, but it's kind of technical, but this Sports Broadcast Act of 1961, there's bipartisan support. The FCC's involved. Justice Department's involved. They pull that rug out from under the NFL, and Bucks start getting a run around about a stadium. I'm telling you right now, it's probably bye-bye Bucks, because all of a sudden the Glazers are going to see their revenue significantly drop. I'm not talking about 10%. I'm talking like 40, 50, 60%.
Steve, this renovation in terms of the climate and the sun for those poor saps in the east side of the stadium.
No, not saps.
It's long overdue, right, Steve? Isn't this thing long overdue to give those people some protection?
Yes.
Even from a health standpoint, it's not healthy.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. Ira, look, they built...
Wait, they're all at the bar. 5 minutes into the game, they're all standing trying to find shade at the bar.
I know. I used to be one of those saps. Miami, got the roof in. I don't know if you've been there since they've done it. It's been a while.
Is it well done?
I think so.
Yeah.
Isn't Jacksonville having shade? They're redoing the Gator Bowl.
Well, they're redoing the whole thing.
Shade.
They're going to have shade.
So, yeah. So basically, the other two NFL franchises in the state kind of cornered the Bucks. It's like, hey, this is what we're doing.
We don't need a retractable roof. We need sun help.
The Rays are trying to build a $2.3 billion stadium, which will be part of a mega-billion-dollar project on top of that, right on Dale Mabry.
That'll be on the west side of Dale Mabry.
And the Buccaneers, the stadium is going to be 30 years old.
Yeah.
And they want to make significant improvements, add shade, do some stuff.
Try to lure another Super Bowl, Steve.
Basically,
right?
spend another billion to redo the stadium like Jacksonville's doing. Upgrade. So that's where it stands. And of course, the public money people are screaming about. The Rays want single billion out of that. And the Bucks are looking for the same amount for the stadium. So it's different with the Bucks because you got the Tampa Stadium Authority, Tampa Sports Authority. I forget what they call it now. They're in the mix there, which isn't necessarily 100% the case with the Rays. And, the Glazers have the hook with the league of the Super Bowl. If they guarantee a Super Bowl to the Bucks, and the Bucks can guarantee a Super Bowl to the community.
With the renovation.
Yeah, with the renovation. That's worth a lot of money. It's a game changer. I don't know what the Rays can guarantee anybody, or if the Major League Baseball is going to guarantee them
Final
an All-Star
Four?
Game or something. No,
yeah,
no, an All-Star game.
Well,
I don't
Final
know.
Four would be big, too. That's like a whole weekend, 40,000
yeah,
people.
But yeah, but they're not going to get that guarantee.
No.
Early.
You think one of the prevailing opinions of our readers, our listeners, would be, hey, they got such a sweetheart deal at the stadium in 1996 with the community investment tax. Let the Glazers pony up over here. This one-third ain't going to do it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Steve. As long as that stadium was there, don't the Glazers get a sits tax of some sort?
Well, we don't need to go into the whole lease. There was a whole thing back then. Bill Poe, you remember him, was leading the charge because the Glazers were getting, not only got their sweetheart deal, they also got the first $2 million of revenue from non-Buccaneers events, and it was a whole thing. I think the important thing is that, I agree with you, Ira, because their franchise is worth, what, $6
billion? $7 billion.
They got $1 billion to pull together, borrow whatever, to fix the stadium if they want to do it. So why should the locals do it? I get having a partnership, and there's value there, but the baseball thing is totally a separate animal. So does Hillsborough County have the money, or do they want to spend it? Are the people going to agree with it? I don't know.
You think the Glazers will go public with some of the things that they're after, or they always work behind the scenes?
Well, of course they work behind the scenes, because I wrote a story 6 weeks ago.
The Rays owners are out there every freaking day.
Bingo, the Rays, that's what I wrote. I said, are the Rays ahead of the Bucks now? Because they're out in the open, they're doing things, and the Glazers has this they want to do, cloak and dagger behind the scenes. I don't know. I don't want to get off on a rant here, but I'm very pro-stadium. Both the Rays and the Bucks. I'm pro-stadium. And if you don't think you need an NFL team, go talk to some teams that lost a franchise in recent years. San Diego, Oakland, St. Louis. Go talk to those civic leaders, ask how fun it is without an NFL team.
You don't
team.
Think it'll come down to pitting one against the other, Steve?
Of course I do.
Yeah.
Why
it's
wouldn't
ruthless.
It? Why wouldn't it?
It's They're, ruthless.
You're talking billionaire business owners.
Rays are going to lose, Steve.
Rays are going to lose if they don't have the better offer. I don't think the Bucks are going to get a hard no. They may get a hard, you're going to have to revisit this in 3 years. If we say we're going to say yes to the Rays and you come back in a few years.
I certainly don't think it's out of line to advocate for a renovation of Raymond James Stadium.
No, I don't think either one's out of line. I mean, people's like, oh, what about government money? You'll drive yourself bananas going through that.
The Super Bowl could be a big part of this, Steve. Could be a big part of it. And Roselle will play ball with the Glazers.
Roselle? They're getting him out of the grave?
Yeah. Goodell will play ball with the Glazers.
It rhymes, Goodell, Roselle.
He'll do what they want in terms of getting this thing across the finish line. He'll do it. You think the Bucks could pull off this renovation without shutting down the stadium for a season?
Apparently.
And moving to Orlando for a season?
I'm not an engineer. I have no idea.
Tampa Bay Times article said that that was their goal, and they think they could do it. Whatever that means, I don't know. Ira, look, let's get to the football.
We got to hear from Lee a little bit, Steve.
Lee, tell us whatever you want to tell us.
Well, you know, underwear football is kind of boring to me, but the one thing that did jump out, and I hope I don't make people throw up with this reference, but it's too good not to use. Emeka Ebuka is Cincinnati ready. He made a unreal catch. Very first play on 7-on-7. Very first play offense versus defense. Mayfield throws the ball over the middle. It's off target. Looked like he overthrew him.
A little high.
Looked like he overthrew him. And Ebuka reaches up with one hand, grabs it, no problem. Doesn't even break stride. Touchdown. It was so good, even the defensive players hoot and hollered.
Along with a couple of Buck reporters, no doubt.
Well, I heard a couple like, oh, but, you know.
All right, I got a few questions for you, Ira, and we can get more from Lee, but if that's what stood out, that's what stood out. We don't have to force it.
I got one other thing. This will whet the appetite of some people. Everything that got thrown to Ted Hurst, not Hirsch, Hurst.
Hurst.
Caught it. No, I'm not saying they were difficult catches like Ebuka did, but everything thrown to him.
At its height?
I didn't see too many real high passes.
No
but
drops, though. No drops.
Never touched the ground. He caught everything.
That's like nice. Me in tennis. Ball never hits the ground.
All right, so Ira, a couple of things, and I'll start here. But one is a little off the chart.
That's
so,
me. I'm off the chart.
But we'll start here. This one is not off the chart. So do you think this will matter at all in any way to Team Glazer and the perception of Baker Mayfield? And I ask you this. Chris Sims is running through his annual quarterback rankings. Now, anybody who's listened to it, not just seen a list on social media, does a full broadcast. It's probably 7 hours in multiple parts on how this list comes about. And all the film work he does, and he explains each
ranking
one.
Ranking from 32 to 1?
He goes from
44,
this
right?
Year he started at 43. He usually picks a number wherever he feels guys he has to rank. And for those wondering, no, Jameis Winston was not on the list.
So he's got backups in there?
Yes.
Okay. Jake Browning make the list?
No. He's cruising through his list, and he hasn't finished it yet. As you know, we're sitting here the night of the 27th. He got through number 15 today. Baker Mayfield has not appeared yet. So it means Mayfield's going to be in the top 14, maybe 12, 11, I don't know.
Which is the top half of the starters.
Top half, but Sims talks about watching every throw of every quarterback through the year, charting it, and explains everything that he does. And I say this, sure, he's just a media guy, but he's also was a big part of Raise the Flags, the documentary. He's close with the Glazers. He's got a relationship there. And I'm sure they're going to pay attention, at least see it. You think that makes him squirm a little bit? The Glazers thinking about, well, this guy doesn't have a contract in 27, and he's our guy says he's the 12th best quarterback.
There's two elements you passed over on his resume, Steve, for those who didn't see him or weren't around. Chris Sims is a former starting quarterback in the NFL, and he's a former Bucs starting quarterback who led the team to a playoff berth.
And almost died on the field.
Well, that
almost,
too.
Yeah, almost died on the field.
I don't know how much skill that took, but okay.
Steve, I understand you. I understand your...
Does it make them squirm? Make them think?
I don't think so, because I think the Glazers are firmly in the Mayfield camp, Lee, but not to the point necessarily of giving them the extension before seeing one more season.
I see where Steve's going here. I'm surprised you didn't...
I'm not going anywhere. I'm just asking.
I think you are going
if
somewhere.
If he thinks they're squirming.
Well, here's why they may be. Chris Sims isn't just a talking head on TV. He occasionally hangs in the owner's suite with the Glazer family. So he's got the ear of the Glazers.
You know, Steve, one thing that we don't talk enough about in this Mayfield situation, Lee, the contract situation, we never look at it from Mayfield's side. It's always from the Bucs side. What are you doing? You might have to franchise him. Well, Lee, I'm not sure Mayfield's that uncomfortable with going into another – year in a contract year because he's bet on himself before and done well with it. He's brimming with confidence about himself. And based on his 2024 season, it was justified. And the first half of last year, well justified. Lee, I'm not sure that Mayfield's uncomfortable with the current situation. I'm not sure this is bothering him. I think he thinks if he has a big, big season, they're not going to franchise him. He'll either get a big contract extension or he'll hit the marketplace. I'm not sure Mayfield's not going to bet on himself here. And if the Bucks don't give him exactly what he wants, he won't sign it.
I'm kind of leaning toward you. I'm not all there, but I see your point. You got some valid points. And
he's
I think
a different
you're
kind of cat, Steve Mayfield.
Yeah, he is.
He's a different kind of cat. Somebody else would be so worried. Oh, wait a minute. My future in the NFL is very uncertain. I don't know what's going on here. There's too much pressure for me.
I don't know.
I don't think he works like that.
I mean, if the Bucks put a lowball offer on the table with guaranteed money, it's still somebody looking at a piece of paper that says, sign here, guaranteed $91 million. That's a hard thing to not sign.
It's your attention.
If everyone's telling me that Mayfield is a regular guy, average Joe, well, that's a hard thing to not sign.
I think he thinks he's worth more than that, and he's going to try to prove it this fall.
I think he regained his confidence. I think when he signed with the Bucks, certainly before he signed with the Rams, his confidence was shot. That's why I sort of lean toward UI, right? You know, he's got confidence in himself, and he's like, hey, I can bounce back. I've done it before. I'll do it again.
You know those injuries he got last year?
The
assorted ones that I think affected his performance down the stretch to a certain degree. It didn't make him make bad decisions, and he did make some bad decisions down the stretch. But, Steve, I think, although he stayed pretty healthy in 24 and threw 41 touchdowns, I think the way Mayfield plays, and I don't think it's going to change, I think that's kind of something we're going to have to live with, Lee. I think we got to live with that. I'm not talking about a torn ACL. Getting beaten up.
Yeah, he's getting banged up in the second half of the season when you need him.
I think we're going to live with that. I think that's the way Mayfield plays.
Well,
and that's why I'm glad they got a better backup. Like, well, I'm glad they got a better
That's
backup.
Also why I wouldn't put a contract in front of him. You know, that you're flirting with disaster. Put a contract in front of him now, and he has a repeat of last year, now you're stuck. And all those good quarterbacks come out in the draft, you're not going to be able to afford them.
Steve, the second half of last year didn't give you any pause in terms of a long-term commitment to Baker Mayfield?
No.
He's got a lot of faith.
Why? Because you think it was the whole team falling apart?
It's very simple.
It was the injuries?
It's very simple. He played his first year, new system, new scene, played very well. Didn't play incredibly well, but he played very well. Made the Pro Bowl.
Beat the Eagles, right?
Beat the Eagles in the playoffs. The following year, he had a hell of a year.
Great.
Pro Bowl quarterback again. And a good first half. Excellent first half. And fell apart, probably because of injuries, decimated a lot. We all know the whole story. So, no, he's in his prime. He's proven that he's good. He's proven that he can win playoff games. Those guys, there aren't many of them. That's the whole point. If the Glazers believe he's the 13th best quarterback, all right, well, he's not top 10. He's not this guy or that guy. But we feel we could win a Super Bowl with him if we build around him. I think, yeah, they're going to throw money at him. Yeah, that's just what I think they think.
Do you give him top dollar? Lee?
I'm not. Like I said, I saw what happened last year, and that's got me rattled, man. That's got me rattled. Only needed one flipping win, and you lose seven of dying down the stretch.
Steve,
when your team gets healthy.
Steve, you saw him in Miami. Did he do anything?
I'm not saying he didn't have bad games. He didn't play well in the second half. Exactly why, I'm not sure. I'm not saying he's the top elite quarterback. I'm saying that I believe the Bucks think, yeah, what are we going to jerk around and roll the dice in the draft when we think this guy can win us the Super Bowl?
We can win with this guy. We can win with this guy.
I can't go there and think he can win a Super Bowl. I got to see him win a couple games in a row in the playoffs before I'm start.
He played pretty well in Detroit the following week after Philly. He played pretty well.
And
in that
we
game.
All know what happened on the last drive.
Yeah, we do.
I love Mayfield's, you know, as a word people hate, moxie. I love his intangibles. Love him. To me, the personification of a Mayfield win was that San Francisco game. He was down Evans, down Godwin, down Ibuka. He put that flipping team on his back. It was beautiful. And my question is, where was that the last nine games?
He does play in the kind of style that Buck fans love, Steve. That blue collar style,
yeah,
they love that.
I just think from the business side of it, or let's go back this way. So C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young were 1-2 in the draft. Strong prospects. Nobody thought they were the next Andrew Luck, but strong quarterback prospects. Would you want either of those guys, or would you want Mayfield?
So I
think the Glazers look at it as, yeah, I'd rather have Mayfield. So, I mean, I'm not sure.
How would you compare him to Trevor Lawrence right now?
Oh, I'd take Lawrence. Look what he's doing with a good quarterback coach. He's thriving now.
He's had some bad years, Lawrence.
He's had some bad years. Well, but I just can't get past that last nine games. I just can't. I gotta see if that was a fluke or if that was, you know, the norm. I got to see it before I put $5 on the table. And that's got me rattled, man. It really does.
Yeah, it's fun because, as Lee said, look what Lawrence is doing with a good quarterback coach. Like, you could say that Mayfield didn't have a quarterback coach last year. So it's a fun argument.
Yeah,
it's
fun. And Light continues to say, we're going to get this done. He doesn't say when. But
now, Rondi Barber talked about, hey, the NFL's different now. You're not relevant. They don't pay attention to you at all. And a lot of that goes to the Jets, the Raiders, the Cardinals,
the Titans.
No primetime game. No national game.
I thought it was obligatory.
They changed the rules because the networks are like, well, look, we're paying billions now.
We don't want the Titans.
Sorry about your mandatory Panthers game. We don't want it. So you literally are going to go into the abyss if you stink, if the networks think you stink. And
you don't have star power.
Barber was making the point that you don't want to go there. It's not like it used to be where you could just rebuild and you'll just disappear from the landscape, the way the owners look at it.
Well, that's why I'm not everything Steve said and Rondi Barber said I totally agree with. But the way the Bucks play in primetime, I'm shocked that they got more than one game. Forget three.
And to Lee's point, the way the Bucks played in the final nine weeks. I don't know which way this franchise is going.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. You call them first, Ira. Anytime you find water in your home, water damage, mold, they are licensed mold remediation specialists. Of course, fire damage. You just know to call them first 24/7. They'll respond 24/7, and they're going to give you a free inspection of what's going on. And they're the best in the business. Florida's Elite Restoration. Mention Ira when you first call. Or Joe Bucks fan, and if you need their services after your free evaluation, if you're going to roll with them, then they're going to give you $500 back, which is money for your deductible or just cash in your pocket. If you're paying cash to restore something, they're a one-stop shop. They do it all, and they've got an impeccable reputation. Check them out. The more homework you do, the more impressed you'll be with Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. And, of course, we thank Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. We never want to forget them, and we want to shop with them first, family-owned, since 1960. So here's my question for you. This is a wacky hypothetical, Ira. I got thinking of it when Lee said he thinks Gerald McCoy is a Ring of Honor member, and I'm not.
Eventually.
I said that, too.
I don't think
eventually.
So.
I do think so.
I don't think so.
There's other worthy candidates, but I think he's worthy.
Go ahead.
It depends what other candidates they let in. Like, I don't know where the bar is, but I wouldn't put him
in
there.
Don't mention Hall of Fame or I'm walking off the podcast.
No, my question
is someone else did.
That's absurd.
Someone else did.
Here's my simple question to you. Simple hypothetical. Bucks reach the Super Bowl this year and lose. 2027, they go 9-7, and they're knocked out of the playoffs first round. The Glazers come to Todd Bowles and say...
9-8. 9-8.
Sorry, 9-8. Yeah. Glazers come to Todd Bowles and say, Todd, we had a great 6 years. We got to the Super Bowl, took a step back. We're looking to move on. We want to get off this offensive coordinator carousel. Do you want to retire? Because we're going to move on. And Todd Bowles says, yeah, all right, I'll take the buyout and I'm out. I get it. Is Todd Bowles worthy of the Ring of Honor at that point? Is he Ring of Honor coach if he makes the Super Bowl this year, has a rough year in 2027, retires? Is he Buccaneers Ring of Honor material?
Does he win the division in 27?
I don't know.
Lee's shaking his head in the affirmative. You didn't say he wins 10 games. You said he makes the Super Bowl. It's different. He wins 10 games, he ain't in the Ring of Honor. Makes the Super Bowl, Ring of Honor.
And lose.
Ring of Honor.
Bingo.
Ring of Honor.
There's already two coaches in the Ring of Honor that have never been to a Super Bowl with the Bucs. McKay and Father Dungy. And Bowles was defensive coordinator. One of the greatest game plans I've ever seen defensively. Shut down Kansas City.
Drop JP into coverage beautifully, Lee. Beautifully that day. Steve, I understand. Yes. I didn't think you'd come up with the Super Bowl. I thought you might say wins the first round game or something.
Yeah, I was going to say just another division and exit.
Another division and exit. I'm saying no. On the Ring of Honor.
Eric Edholm of NFL.com
sounds familiar.
Came up with the most worthy candidate for each team to get the Canton.
I didn't see what he put down for the Bucs. I didn't
Gerald
see
McCoy.
It.
He made the case of Gerald McCoy now.
Whoa. That counts Lavonnie David and Mike Evans?
They're not eligible yet.
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
He put down Gerald McCoy?
Gerald McCoy. Now, first off.
He edged out O.J. Howard. He edged him out.
Sorry,
Steve.
To me, both now and for the foreseeable future, that honor, getting in the Ring of Honor, I don't care who you put in there. I don't care if it's Mike Evans, Simeon Rice, you name it. To me, it's all cheapened. Until James Wilder gets in. Why that guy has been kept out is beyond me. I don't understand it. And until he gets in, to me, that's a second-rate honor.
I'm a Wilder guy, too. He's overdue.
Absolutely, he's overdue.
Everybody should remember that we had a bonus podcast earlier this week. Trent Cooper, Raise the Flags, director of the 10-part docuseries.
They're still showing it right now on NFL Network.
Thursday and Friday
through Friday.
Yeah, Thursday and Friday night, 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. Episodes 7 and 8 on Thursday, 9 and 10 on Friday.
The parade, the boat parade.
NFL Network, all kinds of good stuff. But go back and listen to that episode. We also have some good episodes from the end of last week if you need to catch up. Sitting at the beach or at the pool, very good time to do that.
Irish pool.
You still got all week to get to Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford. .com, BillCurryFord.com. That's the family name, the Curry family. They got several dozen active charities that they support in the Bay Area. C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. And we heard about Florida's Elite Restoration. 5-star Google reviews across the board. Check them out. Understand why they are your first phone call in any disaster for your free evaluation. And so, Ira, look, a lot of excitement at $1 about Cody Mauch, making it clear that his rehab...
How can you not root for that guy? How can you not root for
you
Cody Mauch?
You got to root
Mauch?
For him.
I mean, he's a classic football player. He exudes football.
Yeah. I think it was the second thing he said was, my rehab's over.
That's not
He's
like,
passionate about football. Yes, I love that about him.
That's not Bucky Irving territory. His rehab's over. He's full go. He's ready to play.
Bowl say summer or maybe fall for Cody Mauch?
No, it's right now. The next question next week at the...
I'll ask it.
At the Buck, and I do have another important question for you. Next question at the next Bucks news conference is, what season are we in? Is this spring, summer, or fall? That should be the first question. Should be.
Well, technically, summer hasn't started yet, right? Technically.
You're correct, yes. Yeah.
Summer solstice alert.
great to see Cody Mauch out there with that attitude and feeling good. He's a big key up front.
Yeah, now there's been a little bit crazy made of, oh, he's bigger, he's this, he's that.
I know, it's
Last year before the season, Cody Mauch told me, and we reported it, he was going to be playing at about 319. So now, oh, he's 325. Holy cow.
Oh, he's going to obliterate people.
That's not a lot of weight. And he didn't say, this is what's important, he didn't say, I'm going to play at 325 this year. He just said what his weight is. Sometimes these guys cut a little bit before the season.
1 week of training camp, you're down 5 pounds.
That's what he said. He goes, we'll see. We'll see what you want. We'll see.
Back when the Bucks used to feed media members, Ira would say, 1 week of training camp, and I'm up 5 pounds. Now they starve us. They starve us.
I almost forgot they did that. It's been so long ago.
Two more for you, Ira.
Were you at a time that McCoy was buying ices for people?
Yeah.
And I decided to walk over there, and everybody was screaming, what are you doing? You're a reporter. Get out of here.
By the way, somebody on Joe Bucks Fan, they cited one of the reasons they hate McCoy. Of course, the McCoy hate bubbled to the surface about that story about NFL.com saying he should be in the Hall of Fame. Oh, he bought ice cream for his teammates. Like, when is that a sin? It's not like he skipped practice.
Yeah, McCoy had a snow cone truck come to $1.
Yeah.
And somehow Ira was part of that.
He did love his teammates. There's no question.
Oh, I remember when he opened up the wagon gates, you could hear the ice cream man music and stuff.
McCoy would make the Pro Bowl. He brought his whole defensive line with him to Hawaii. I mean, he did a lot of things that were really cool in the community as well.
He's a good human being.
Yeah.
He's a good human being.
I mean, that just rubbed me the wrong way. Like, do we really expect an NFL player after – back then they had 2 days, didn't they? That they may eat ice cream at night? Oh, my God.
I never saw a Buck player dinged so much for not being somebody else, which was Warren
Sapp. McCoy and Warren Sapp.
It's not Warren
Sapp.
There's
a lot of layers to why. We can hit that another
Helping
time.
Helping a teammate, helping the other guy, the running back up off the ground.
Meanwhile, Tristan Wirfs has done that. You never heard of word boo.
Baker Mayfield, Ira, still has not talked to the media. He was at OTAs, no news conference. He's the leader of the franchise. He hasn't talked in a long time.
The leader of the free world.
He wants his contract.
And he's going to be on the Netflix series. They followed him all last year. Wonder if that was a distraction. The new Netflix series coming out in July, Quarterback. He's on it with a few other guys. You would think he'd want to maybe promote that or answer some questions. Still missing, won't talk to the media.
What do you mean, won't talk to the media?
What do you mean? He's Baker Mayfield. All right, a lot of quarterbacks, Ira, OTAs are back or the team reports back in April. I'm the guy. I'm the spokesman of the franchise.
I'm the face of the franchise.
I'm taking 10 minutes of questions.
I could answer that right now. He was on Part of My Take with Big Cat and PFC Commenter last year when they have their thing out in Reno. Was it Reno or Lake Tahoe?
Maybe. Lake Tahoe, I think, yeah.
At any rate, Mayfield was saying how it's such a pain in the ass to deal with media.
What is he hiding? Does he not want to talk about
Mike
Evans?
He probably doesn't want to talk about the contract extension.
So don't.
It's either the contract, Mike Evans, or
his bad second half. He's talked about
could be that.
Yeah.
Health. He doesn't want to talk about his health.
Should I demand his presence next weekly?
One at a time. You got something possibly big coming up. Take it easy.
Yes, the answer is yes. What, are you taking it easy? What, are you waiting until you're 90? Talk to Mayfield. I don't know. It's a little weird.
They drag everybody else out.
I don't care. He'll talk when he talks. I don't care. My life goes on.
Exciting news on Malk. And the Bucks look like they're going to have no excuses on the offensive line, which is fantastic. And final thought, Lee?
I got a final question for Ira. This is starting to bubble up a little bit. I had someone who's a huge Bucks fan, talked to him this morning. He asked me this question, and a former NFL scout wrote this very sarcastically for GoLongTD.com. Is Bane hitting way too much?
Yes.
You didn't hear my last? You know, I could have said, is he getting way too much ecstasy? And you would have agreed with that. Yep. Is he getting way too much run, way too much hype?
Yes.
Detail. Please.
I don't like it. The guy doesn't need any extra pressure. There's a club star for a pass rusher. Their sack totals sucked last year. Big drop off from the usual 45, 47 that Bowles' defense usually accomplishes. He blitzed his ass off.
Well, you know.
Didn't work.
Nope.
Didn't work. And I don't want to put any more pressure on Reuben Bain.
You're not going to like how I close this podcast, Ira. When we meet again, very soon, we'll talk about some comments from Levante David. More comments. As he sat down for Max.
You mean besides loafing, which I don't like?
Better explanation of loafing, Max Crosby's podcast. But guess who's up next on Max Crosby's podcast? Hopefully it pops tomorrow. Mr. Reuben Bain.
Will you stop? You're allowed to turn down an interview request, Reuben.
Ira's out of here. You can hear his car.